For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're into sports betting, BetOnline is where you should go to win money today. Whether it's live bets during games or futures for who you think will win the championship, BetOnline has all the latest odds, news, and information for all of your online betting needs. Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next big game, head on over to BetOnline and start playing today. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. So, I don't know if you've heard, but apparently former NBA player Lamar Odom may be returning to professional basketball in Spain soon. I was reading a press release about how he started taking pH balancing alkaline supplement called Balance 7, and that's what helped him bounce back from his hospitalization in 2015. He even said, "I have an enormous amount of energy, which is good for me. It's important when working out. I always need energy to level up." Couldn't agree more with Lamar. After watching him fight Aaron Carter in July's celebrity boxing match, I think it's safe to say that Balance 7 is working for him. Cool thing is, we've got a promotion running with Balance 7 right now, or if you go to their website, balance7.com, and use the code BELIEVE at checkout, you'll receive a free 4-ounce bottle of my smooth skin with any purchase of Balance 7 products. That product retails at $13.99, so I'd say it's worth it. Again, head to balance7.com and use the code BELIEVE at checkout to get in on the promotion. I know I will. If it worked for him, it can work for you too. And what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Believe in Clippers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Jesse Cass and Alex Acker back with you here for another week on the Believe Podcast Network. Alex, how's it going?
Doing good. Feeling amazing. Feeling really good, Jess.
Yeah, and you know, since we talked last week, a lot has become official, has been agreed to, has been signed for the Clippers. I know we spent a lot of time last week talking about, you know, the importance of bringing back Reggie Jackson. Of course, Kawhi Leonard, which we kind of expected, you know, we already talked about Batum re-signing, but pretty much you look down the checklist for the Clippers, every single person who was a free agent or someone they needed to bring back, they did, with Ibaka opting in, Kawhi now re-signing, Reggie Jackson re-signing, Batum we mentioned, and then adding a few other pieces as well. But just your thoughts on you know, the band being back together and everyone running it back for another year and longer for a lot of these guys.
Nah, it's dope. It is. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard actually signing that 5-year deal is pretty amazing. I think it's 5 years. I'm stepping over the boundaries. Is it 5 years, Jess?
Four years.
All right. We'll give him another one. But it's a great stint for, you know, the Clipper Nation. Got Reggie Jackson back. It's just amazing to actually see that these guys are taking it serious. They're not doing no Cinderella dance and, you know, trying to prolong it. They really wanted to get back down to business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for someone, you know, like Kawhi Leonard, who, as we said, it had only been a couple of days, but, you know, the media was already rumbling, you know, is he holding things up, whatever. But I think that was pretty easily squashed. We saw him with the team, with his, you know, teammates and friends at Summer League supporting the guys. And then he signs that, as we said, 4-year deal. Fourth year is a player option. But, you know, in terms of what for him, it's not necessarily the most money. He could have, as we said, done the 1-1 and then signed another deal after that. But it kind of shows the trust that he has in the organization, that he wants to be here long term. And if there are any questions about that, I think that's kind of been squashed, as you know, he came home and he obviously wants to stay and build something here with the Clippers.
For sure. Who the heck doesn't want to stay in L.A.? You know what I mean? Once you come to L.A., it's going to be hard to go to, like, to Chicago or, you know what I mean, someplace else like that. So, yeah, you definitely want to just actually get that going and be real appreciative that they even want you back, you know, from that standpoint. And it's just get this thing going, you know. We talked about it earlier as far as how big Reggie Jackson was. I think he's in his prime right now, you know what I mean? He's really found himself, his niche, a home, you know, and a lot of people were you know, really trying to actually see if he was going to be able to sign back and what other place would it be for him to actually play and be himself rather than just, I mean, more so than the Los Angeles Clippers for sure.
Yeah, and I think perfect situation for both the Clippers and for Reggie. It was kind of the right place, right time for each of them with all the injuries the Clippers had, especially at the point guard position. And then for Reggie, you know, with all the injuries that this team had, his opportunity to play in the playoffs and just how phenomenal he was in that playoff run. You know, it's just huge and a huge testament to him. And it shows why the team needed him back. And especially this upcoming year with Kawhi Leonard, you know, going to miss a good chunk of time. Reggie will probably have a bigger role and have more importance within the offense to make sure that the Clippers, you know, stay above water here in this next season.
No doubt. For sure, man.
Yeah, and you mentioned four-year deal for Kawhi Leonard, max contract, Reggie Jackson, the most the Clippers could pay him under the bird rights. So 2-year, $22 million deal, $11 million a year for Reggie. And then Batum coming back, you know, pretty much just over the minimum. So, you know, we know he had a lot of interest. But again, it speaks to just kind of the feelings that these players have from the organization that they, you know, they feel so comfortable here about this group, about the front office, about everything. That, you know, some of them, you know, probably took a little less than they could have gotten otherwhere to stay and keep this group together. And even Ibaka, who opted back into his contract, you know, coming off an injury. But, you know, Serge coming back at about $9 million a year. A lot of these players probably could have found a little more elsewhere if they really wanted to.
Yeah, they could have held off a little bit longer and tried to, you know, see what's in, you know, the options and stuff. And you kind of see, like, the guys that you're playing against that you probably competing against, and you know that you're better than signing for more money, you know what I mean? But I think everybody's locked into the fact that, you know, for us to actually really prevail and do something special at the end of the day, which is winning a championship, and that's what they're harping on every single year, you know? And building that nucleus, more than anything, is the number one foundation that you have to have. You know, I think for teams to actually get over that hump, especially for the Clippers to get over that wall that they always been hitting, and they've been pushing it back a little bit this year, and they broke free. But still, again, they're hitting this wall where, you know, you need your core, your nucleus to be stronger. And last year was definitely, you know, something that actually was an example in itself. You know, they actually came back from a ridiculous situation. You know, they actually overcame a lot of boundaries that they had. Nagy injuries was definitely one of them, but more so they trusted each other, and that foundation of trust was definitely there for sure.
Yeah, and we obviously have plenty of time before the next season starts, but, you know,
yep.
And still more moves to be made for a lot of teams. But, you know, I think it's funny to see, and the West is super deep and super stacked, so it's not the craziest thing, especially with Kawhi out, but we're already seeing a lot of people kind of put their what they think next season will look like, and, you know, still having the Clippers as a playoff team, but slotting them, you know, in that 7-8 range. You know, I think the West, as I said, is super deep, but I do think that's probably a little presumptuous. Probably, you know, I wouldn't count the Clippers out from being a higher seed. Is all I'm saying, especially with a normal schedule, you know, a less cramped schedule where they can be a little healthier. You know, we just saw it, as you just mentioned, in the playoffs. You know, they beat the number one team, the Jazz, without Kawhi Leonard. They could have beaten the Suns. They pushed them to six games and had a couple of games they could have won there late and didn't. So, you know, I think despite not even having Kawhi, I think it'll probably work in their benefit that they might be overlooked by a lot of teams and I think can still have a really strong regular season.
Yeah, for sure. Kawhi's one of those guys, you can put him up against anybody, powerhouse team or something like that, and he's definitely going to show out, you know. haven't had Kawhi for a full season and, you know, playoff season. So we're definitely looking forward to that, man. So I'm just really happy about actually just getting, you know, the elite guys that we needed, the core five, and actually building around that for sure moving forward.
Yeah, no question. And we're going to get into the Clippers Summer League in a minute, but I know, you know, you hit me during the week talking about this, you know, it's been brewing, but the officials are now going to really, you know, start to take a look and implement it next season. But essentially cutting down on whatever you want to call it, foul hunting, where players are jumping in into people from the side, where they're kicking their legs out, trying to cut down on those type of fouls. So I know you were interested in talking about that. So what are your thoughts?
No, I was just seeing something on that was posted on Instagram, and I think it's really a great opportunity to actually let everybody know that these fouls that they're actually doing is just self-made in a way. You know, I remember Damian Leonard in the Olympic Games, they was like, he was trying to, you know, orchestrate a foul, and they weren't giving him these calls in Europe, you know, and these calls are not called in Europe. Like, you can't draw a foul by jumping into somebody just blatantly, you yeah. know, and they're actually seeing that, you know, this is not something that is taken away from the game, but it was all more so given to players that are elite level that actually are orchestrating the game from a mindset like Damian Leonard as well. You know, you got Steph Curry, you got guys, you know, all over KD, they're drawing fouls again to the line 16, 18 times. It's ridiculous to a point where, like, we're not coming to see guys just flopping all the time. So they're getting rid of a lot of that. They're probably getting it back to a little bit more of a physical standpoint where he's actually just playing the game and not trying to actually orchestrate it from just the foul line, you know. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And the no calls that's going to be presented, guys are going to be really pissed, and they're going to have to play without, you know, that call for sure.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, the game has obviously been catered more to the offensive end over, you know, the past decade or so, with getting rid of the hand-checking foul and really making it, you know, making it tougher on defenders and easier for people to score. And I think, as you mentioned, in the FIBA game in the Olympics, you know, you hit it on the head that you're not going to get those type of calls. So I think a lot of people, you know, to an extent, would like to see that kind of translate to the NBA game, where you're not rewarding necessarily all of these flopping plays, you know, kicking out plays. You know, you give credit to these star players, like you said, for, I don't know what you want to call it, gaming the system, where they can basically trick the officials into thinking that they're getting fouled. But at the same time, you just want to see them play the game. And, you know, I think to a certain point, in certain games, it's glaring. When you know, obviously the names that always come up are Harden and Trae Young. But, you know, I think, you know, we saw it in the playoffs. And again, Clipper players have done it too. Paul George has done it before. You know, we talked about he doesn't get a lot of calls. But, you know, in the Suns series, you know, Chris Paul sometimes was out there playing soccer and, you know, kicking his legs out and flying. And, you know, for someone who's that good and that much of a, you know, all-time type of player, you just want to see him play the game where, you know,
yeah.
Chris has always been trying to get the advantage no matter what. But as we saw, it's got to another level where anytime he took a jump shot, he's flat on his back because he's kicking out his legs, you know, yeah. like he's diving into a pool. So, you know, I think cutting down on those type of things is beneficial for the game. And even, you know, I don't know if they'll go this far, but, you know, calling an offensive foul if someone is, like you said, kicking out or doing a play that, you know, might put the defender in a hard position where, you know, yeah. if you're trying to bait someone into a foul and trick the official, maybe the, you know, the call just goes the other way.
Yeah, for sure. They can actually look at that for sure and maybe call it technical if they keep doing it, you know, in a way. Something I really want the NBA to actually get back to is just a little bit more trash talking. You know what I mean? This game is a physical competition where, you know, the best of it is coming out of you, so a little talking could be, you know, helpful, you know, to get the blood going and stuff. But I don't understand why you got to get a technical just for looking at somebody nowadays, you know. And that's one of those things where I think that they should definitely, I wouldn't say like, oh, you got to bring back serious trash talking, but more so like letting some stuff go where the guys can get into the rhythm of the game and not just be, you know, like just playing the game, shut up, don't say nothing type, you know, environment and stuff. Because this is a sport for, you know, competition. You got to be able to compete at a high level. It's going to come out of you. You know, a little bit of trash talk is not going to do anything. So I would love to see the NBA, you know, just calm down all those technicals and stuff like that.
100%. Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, you appreciate it when you see officials that do that. And I think in the playoffs, like you said, it changes game to game or official to official, so you never really know. And I think that's part of the issue too. But we saw some games where, you know, they're letting, you know, Paul George and Chris Paul go at it, where they're letting Beverly and Devin Booker go at it, and other games where, like you said, you look at someone and it's a tech. So I know that, you know, based on the emotion of the game and stuff, the officials have to control it. But I agree that I think especially in playoff time where, you know, the emotions are running high, to have a little bit of a longer leash and, you know, let these guys compete and really get after it. Because that's, you know, as we said, that's what people come to see and enjoy seeing, especially when the stakes are high.
For sure. You got some players that actually have a knack for that. They going to trash talk. You know what I mean? They got that Gary Payton old school game where it gets them going and stuff. So, yeah, you got to let that play a little bit. And you can't just pinpoint them knowing that they're going to actually have a spark plug and you're waiting for them to actually ignite and you're just going to hit them with a technical right away. You know, Cousins was definitely one of them that they were just waiting and loving to give a technical left and right anytime he said anything, you know. So just definitely getting back to that. I think that they should look at that for sure.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's certain players' reputation, right? Where – you know, sure, obviously yeah. Patrick Beverley's one of them, and you know, he had the talked about, the unfortunate push at the end of the season. But in general, you know, he gets the short end of the stick on technicals or flagrants, where more often than not he'll get it. And like you said, Cousins is one of those guys. You know, Draymond Green over the years is one of those guys. There's guys that the officials just, you know, for rightly or wrongly, who players have painted this as a reputation, and the officials are often going to go by that, and that will, you know, go against that certain player from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So how successfully do you think they can implement this rule? I know that we've started to see them, you know, try to adhere to this in summer league. Have you noticed a difference? And do you think it can be successful in kind of changing that element of the game?
I think they always start with the summer league, you know, and trying to get that going. Leg kicks and stuff like that, coming off down screens, and for guys that are elevating at a high level, it is hard to actually control your body and get your legs underneath you and shoot with your legs underneath you at all times. You know, it is definitely hard to do that, but at the same time, you can honestly tell when somebody's blatantly do it for the most part. But the NBA Summer League, you know, these referees are trying to show out and go by the book because they want to show that they're NBA referees, you know, so they're calling some stuff that are fair, but at the same time, you know, they're actually trying to, you know, show out a little bit more, more so. And I definitely remember playing in somebody, they were calling every damn thing. So when it wasn't even a foul, they was calling it for the most part. Yeah. But you know, I think these guys right now, they're not so built into the mindset of just trying to, like, orchestrate the game. Like we said, Chris Paul, they're not at that level. A few of them aren't. So they're actually just really just going off of impulse and, like, reactions right now and actually playing hard and not worrying about, you know, contact here and there and stuff. So I see a lot of games that, you know, referees are letting them play, you know, especially the bigs. They're getting banged down there and following and finishing and stuff like that with fouls and contacts, which is kind of awesome to actually see that.
Yeah, and keeping on the note of Summer League, obviously, you know, we talked last week about the Clippers draft and who they brought in. We, of course, mm-hmm. are in Summer League now. We've seen the Clippers play two games. They'll play their third game here Friday night against the Lakers Summer League team. But, you know, what have your early impressions been for the Clippers? You know, obviously, record doesn't really matter. The numbers don't really matter either. It's kind of just the eye test, what you see. But, you know, yeah. The core group of young guys that are likely to transfer to the team and that have contracts. Of course, last year's second-round pick, Jay Scrubb. You know, you also yeah. have the draft picks this year, Keon Johnson, Brandon Boston, mm-hmm. Jason Preston, and Oturu from last year. So really those five guys are the ones that they're looking at. But what have you seen and what do you think so far?
Man, I can start off with Jay. You can definitely tell when somebody has a year underneath their belt, and it shows from the confidence and just actually handling the ball, being a little bit more poised than others. And you can see they're comfortable with actually dribbling the basketball, you know what I mean, and attacking at a certain angle where most guys would be a little bit timid for that bump and waiting for it, you know, instead of going after it and initiating. So Jay is definitely one of those guys that he's a hooper, man. You know, that's the first thing that came out of my mind when I seen him this summer, putting up 24 points, 10 rebounds. Like, he's really has a knack for getting a bucket and being around the basketball. You know, he did an amazing job with the Bucks, and that was the first game I actually saw him play substantial amount of minutes, you know. And he had his spurts as well too last season, but you know, this summer league he's been playing phenomenal. And you know, as far as the rookie Keon Johnson, he's a rookie right now, little minor mistakes and stuff like that, but I see a lot from the veterans that are actually watching the game, giving him mentorship as far as Manning and stuff like that, which is vital, you know. And he's going to pick up the game a lot faster with that help along the way, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, on the note of Jay Scrubb, I think, you know, obviously a second-round pick, was a JUCO guy, was hurt a lot last year, but clearly something he can do is score the basketball. So I think that, you know, there might be opportunities here and there. You know, he'll still likely be someone who is at the back end of the rotation, but, you know, if they need someone to come in and provide instant offense, which we've seen from, you know, so many guys throughout the league, where, of course, Jordan Clarkson won Sixth Man of the Year last year. We know we've seen that from Lou, Jamal Crawford in the past. You know, I see some of that in his game where, you know, right now that seems to be his strong suit. As you said, he did rebound the ball well. You know, I don't think he's a great passer yet, but he can score. So I think, you know, having that option from a, you know, a big physical 6'7" wing is never a bad thing. So I thought, you know, the same thing. That was impressive. And then from the rookies, you know, the shooting hasn't really been there yet, but, you know, I'm impressed from what I've seen, from Keon Johnson. I think, you know, his form looks good. Shots just aren't falling, but I've been most impressed with his kind of decision-making, especially in transition, where, you know, he played some point at Tennessee. He's going to be more of a wing with the Clippers, but you could tell, you know, he playing high speed, he can still have the game slow down, make the right reads, make the right passes. Obviously crazy athletic, great rebounder, can finish. So, you know, his passing, I think, is a big plus, and I think that could really bode well, along with being super athletic, great defender, all of those things that could play right away for the team. So I think that, you know, as long as that shooting comes along, as I said, the form looks good, it's just not falling yet, but I'm excited about Keon Johnson, and then the other guys too. You know, Brandon Boston, you know, I think he needs to get a little stronger, but you can tell he's got a lot of skill as well. I think Preston has looked, you know, a little bit timid, so hopefully he gets a little more comfortable in the next few games. And then Oturu, I don't really know what his ceiling is in the league, but, you know, big body, he can finish around the rim. He's been able to show a little bit of increased foot speed, so the ability to defend, and, you know, that's what's really going to keep him on the floor if he can get in an NBA game. So I think all, you know, positive stuff to build on for a lot of these young guys that are trying to make the team.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, Jason he got to get a little bit more size for sure in order to play that point guard position and not get pushed off the block. And being able to actually turn that corner with a guy arm on you, you know what I mean? These guys are going to be defending, but he's going to get that every single day, you know, nonstop from the veterans that are going to be in his butt, you know what I mean, pushing him to be, you know, an elite player. And I think for him, he's going to see a great example of how to be a leader, you know, as far as the guys that we already said that are coming back helping him. So he's going to have a chance to actually sit down and watch Reggie Jackson actually, you know, orchestrate the game and how to take advantage of it for sure. And I think that was one of the things that helped me watching, you know, Chauncey Billups manipulate the game so smooth and effortless, and it's going to definitely help for him as well too down the way.
Yeah, and for all these young guys, it's almost like who better to learn from, especially for the wing players like Johnson and Scrubb and Boston. Who better to learn from all year long than Paul George and Kawhi Leonard? And you know, you even have other guys, of course, who can help you out in that regard with Marcus Morris and what he's become, and of course Batum and the kind of team guy that he is. But you've got you know, two of the premier wing players in basketball kind of as your teachers, and especially with, you know, even with Kawhi this year, you know, he'll be on the sideline on the bench kind of next to these guys. He can kind of talk them through situations and guide them in that way. So I think, you know, even if they're not playing a lot early on, which, you know, they might not be, the fact that they have these type of guys to lean on and learn from, I think is going to be huge for them.
And they play multiple positions too, which is dope. You know, I think that's pretty dope where you can actually see different positions that guys are playing and how to attack and how to actually see how to play those positions. We got a great group of guys, man. It's pretty amazing too. And one of the guys that we definitely haven't talked about is Justin Winslow. What do you think about that, that pickup?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's you know, that's with the Clippers taxpayer mid-level exception. You know, they take, I think it's a low risk, high reward move for another guy who has dealt with injuries, obviously still very young, but talented. And I think kind of fits the mold of what we were just talking about with the young guys too. He's already, you know, an elite defender when he's healthy. So that's, you know, that steps in right away, especially without Kawhi in the fold for a while. You have another guy who can really give you great ball pressure and, you know, defense on that side of the floor without Kawhi in the lineup for a long time. And then he's someone who also, like you just mentioned, kind of positionless. You know, he's a small forward, but when he was with Miami, when he was playing his best, he was essentially their point guard. So he's a great passer. You know, he needs to improve as a shooter, obviously, especially if he's playing off the ball. But I think, like I said, I think it's low risk, high reward. It's a guy who can bring some toughness and playmaking. And if the shooting comes along and the health is there, just another guy with kind of the mold of this team, as you were just talking about in Ty Lue, where positionless, he can play, he can play the one, he can play the two, the three, maybe even the four in a smaller lineup. So versatility, and I think, you know, a low risk flyer for the Clippers. I like the move and bringing in Justice Winslow.
Yeah, for sure. And I think he's going to be ready to showcase his talent. It's been a minute for him to actually step on the court and do that, for sure. Like you said, if with the Heat, he was definitely going to be their point guard. I think they traded away for him to actually take him in that spot. And, you know, he had a lot of potential to do that, you know, before with the injuries, and then he got traded off to Grizzlies and stuff like that. So he hasn't had his niche yet. I think he's thirsty for it right now. And, you know, the Clippers is something where it fits his physique for sure, like you said, across the board. Just a guy that's effortless, that's going to get after it. And you have a lot of those guys, you know, that's getting those 50-50 balls. He can actually step up and guard multiple positions. And we know from watching the Clippers countless times, they're always switching, no matter what the perimeter is or down low as well, too. So you can mix it up and go on small ball or moving him out wide and him having to attack a big man and use that first step athletic ability that he has, man. Another left-handed player that can actually get shots up at a high level, too. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch him play.
Yeah, and it'll be fun to see, you know, who on the peripheries of the rotation, who cracks the rotation. You know, obviously we know the core group of guys right away. You know, you got Reggie, Paul George, Marcus Morris, you know, Zoo and Ibaka and Batum. We know all those guys are going to play. And then, of course, Luke Kennard, you know, he played really well in the playoffs, I think, especially with Kawhi out. He's got a spot there. And then, you know, kind of up for grabs for a lot of the younger guys where, you know, these guys in summer league we just talked about, you know, will Scrub get a chance? Will Justice Winslow get a chance? Will Keon Johnson get a chance? You know, those guys kind of at the back end, we'll see if they can work their way into the rotation. But I think it gives them a lot of options and a lot of depth and defensive versatility in particular, where, like you just mentioned, being able to switch and really kind of be that rugged defensive team and kind of maybe build that as their identity for this next season.
Yeah, all those names that you just mentioned, all I'm hearing is just underdog, underdog, underdog. We full of underdogs, you know what I mean? And guys that counted each other out, guys that had injuries, you know, from Paul George having a severe injury and coming back, and, you know, the list goes on, you know. So these guys got something to prove collectively, and I just hope they can bring it together for sure.
Yeah, and of course, Patrick Beverley in that group as well. I was naming off the top of my head and forgot one of the key guys there, but it just shows, yeah, another guy who's been super key. And obviously, again, you know, shooting and defense and bringing that, especially that underdog role with him and that intensity. But just another guy that the Clippers, that kind of embodies and identifies their culture as a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the front runner for that position for sure. It was a magazine. He'd be on the front cover for sure.
Yeah, no question. So, I like the moves. Summer League. We'll see what continues to happen. But, if you had to give a grade for the Clippers in this offseason, they still might make some moves. Trades can always happen. They're pretty much done with any cap space and signings there since they brought everyone back. But, what would you grade the Clippers offseason? They pretty much, you said, didn't have a lot of money to work with, but their prerogative and priority was to bring back their key guys. They got them all back. So what do you give the grade?
Man, I would definitely say an A. There's nothing else to be said about it. They did some strategic moving and calculated risk. I shouldn't even say risk, more so. They actually went after their nucleus first and making sure that was solidified more than anything, And I love that move of bringing these guys back and not trying to shop them around and doing some crazy stuff and seeing if that's going to work and bringing somebody in that probably doesn't fit, So... I like that move down the board. I would give it an A for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would do the same. Anytime, you bring back, especially long-term, one of the top three, top five players in the game, that's mm-hmm. a huge bonus for your club. And it just shows how far this franchise has come where, once a long-time laughing stock of the league, they, of course, 2 years ago, get two of the best players in the game in Kawhi and Paul George to come, and then now have had both re-sign long-term. So it just shows... how far this organization has come from what it used to be. So even on that alone, I think you give that an A. And then, there was a lot of, attention around the league and interest in Reggie Jackson and Nick Batum, who said they probably could have gotten more money elsewhere. But I think getting them both back on, smart, affordable deals was huge. So, I give it an A as well. And we talked about the move with Winslow. It might not amount to much, but it could be a nice surprise of a move with the potential that he has. So I think all around a really solid offseason for the Clips.
Sure. Jess, you playing me, man. I was on that train too when we was clowns with the Clippers, man.
Well, that was more the organization than
train, man.
But you can speak
to it. No, it's all good though, for sure, man.
But you can speak to it more than anyone, right? You guys were not in your own practice facility. You were not. It was different times.
Yeah, it was different times. As far as even the front office, it was different times, Not to go back to all that, but yeah, I just love from that point on, moving forward, it's kind of bringing a foundation of a family base, as we want you type thing, So I love that situation. I love that, Kawhi is buying in and Paul George is buying in. I love the fact that you actually turn on the TV, seeing the Summer League and all these guys are sitting together. I love the fact that, Reggie Jackson actually came back and wants to be a part of this team and organization. I love the fact that, the coaching staff is for these players too and got their backs, So it's going to be a great situation moving forward. And you have the right guys. At the end of the day, it's one basketball, and you got to put the ball in the hole. It doesn't matter really who's on your team, and as long as you get it done, And to go back to what you said as far as dogs and having to be able to compete, these guys are – the legitimate standpoint of that. I look at them as far as the Milwaukee Bucks when they had, guys that you wouldn't know who the heck they are if they walked down the street and all of a sudden they're NBA champions. And I'm not talking about the Greek Freak by no means or anybody else like that, but I'm just saying these guys actually put it together, and it took not just 1 year, it took a long time to actually get it, but the reward was so much sweeter, as far as the adversity that they overcame. And I'm looking forward to actually celebrating the same situation with the Clippers as well.
Yeah, no question about it. So we'll see, what the rest of the young Clips look like in the Summer League in these next couple of days. We'll be able to, touch on that next week as well. And, of course, everything that goes down in the off season. But, Alex, thanks as always for tapping in, and we'll be back again at it next week.
No doubt. Let's get it.
So that's it for this week's edition of the Believe in Clippers podcast. As always, if you enjoyed the show, please rate, review, and subscribe 5 stars on Apple. And we're available wherever else you get your podcasts, including Spotify, iHeartMedia, wherever. We're there, and Believe.com, of course. So with all of that said, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode of the Believe in Clippers podcast right here on the Believe Podcast Network, LA's number one sports podcast network, and the only place for the show for every team in LA and more. We believe in our LA teams. Do you believe? Go Clips.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.